At IU's central heating plant, some carbon shoots out of a smokestack. Some gets caught by a filter called a baghouse. But a little bit gets diverted here to be eaten by algae.
This interesting contraption with, it almost looks like something out of a sci-fi movie.
That's Devin Hartman, a former Office of Sustainability intern. He's talking about a room in the basement of IU's central heating plant that holds vats of bubbling Granny Smith apple-colored liquid. Flue gases, the byproducts of combusted coal, are fed through tubes to hungry algae, which absorb it. But coal plant manager Mark Menifee says it's not mad science.
There's just no doubt about the fact that it works.
Menifee has allowed this experiment because of its potential to reduce carbon emissions, the number one contributor to climate change, spewing from coal plants. It's the baby of biology professor Richard Wagner. He says the concept holds promise, but scaling this up from a basement experiment to a viable and practical large-scale operation creates many issues.
I think a lot of people have jumped on the bandwagon here thinking that this is an easy thing and a no-brainer because they look at the, you know, they sit back and they look at all the algae that grows in their swimming pool and they say, oh, well, this is simple to grow. It's not. It's quite complicated.
Cultivating enough algae to fully combat the sheer amount of carbon bellowing out of the central heating plant could require dozens, if not hundreds of acres of on-site ponds, for which IU doesn't have room. And pumping flue gases through hundreds of thousands of gallons of water is energy-intensive and expensive, to say the least. But Wagner also envisions recycling the algae as fuel, meaning once that's burned, the net result of the process would effectively be the same amount of CO2 emissions going into the atmosphere. Meanwhile, upstairs from the algae, heating plant managers are considering the possibility of burning biomass, plant-based energy sources. In February, they met with private company Matt Creek Energy, which proposed converting some of IU's boilers so they'd turn biomass into methane gas and then burn it. This method is more environmentally friendly if the fuel source is local, Menifee says. Adding carbon emissions would be comparable to natural gas, which produces roughly half as much CO2 as coal.
Any energy that we use has emissions issues.
Menifee says the cost of burning biomass could be prohibitive, though he couldn't provide specific numbers, and he says there's no timetable for making a decision on the change. Providing heat and electricity at IU or around the world in the future boils down to two choices, Menifee says. People could change their behaviors and consume less energy, or humankind can try to find a way to keep using more energy by fixing the problems it creates.
I think it will take a considerable crisis to change our behavior. Everyone has gotten to this point where they really have some pretty strict expectations for their comfort level. You know, on campus here, we try and conserve energy, and one of the things we do in the wintertime is we set the thermostats down to 68 degrees. And you immediately hear from people, I'm cold. I want my electric unit heater, I'm plugging it into the wall.
As scheduled, Coal-Free IU President Lauren Kastner says she met with IU Vice President Tom Morrison this week to push the school to sign the American College and University President's climate commitment, which would pledge IU to finding a way to carbon neutrality. But that signature still seems elusive.
The prediction that he gave us for President McGrathy's signature on that document is that the university would rather speak louder by its actions than by signing something.
IU's Integrated Energy Master Plan, which will ostensibly provide a path for campus to dial down its emissions one notch at a time, could take up to 2 years to finish. Then administrators will face a choice: translate the report into action or don't. But for the time being, how IU will someday find a way to walk without leaving a carbon footprint is still a matter of imagination. For WFIU News, I'm Daniel Robison.